have a problem understanding God.
You look at your neighbor and say, God loves to hide. Wonder why? Ever try to figure out why he likes to hide? Never try to figure it out. But he loves to hide. Yeah. When I received I believe it's a DVD. I thought it was a CD. And I thought I'd get to listen to it, but it didn't happen yet. From the King of Glory Ministry. How many are familiar with the King of Glory Ministry? They sent me a DVD, which I tried to put it in. It didn't say what it was on the outside, so obviously I put it in my CD player coming home from Boston yesterday, and it rejected it. So I said, okay, well, I'll have to try the other machinery later. But the paperwork is what the Lord said to bring to your hearts today. So would you bow your heads, please? Father God, we're about to enter a season where you have told us to take quality time with you. And Lord, I thank you that there will be a pull on the inside of our hearts to discover who you are and what you are and why we were made and created. I give you praise for this in Jesus' name. Now, if you go to Leviticus 23, you're going to find that the fall holy days are outlined. And these days are approaching. Now, these are my appointed feasts, says Yahweh. A perpetual statute, Leviticus 23, verses 2, 31, and 41. These three fall feasts are the conclusion of what began with Passover and exemplify and foreshadow Jesus as our Lamb and God's plan of redemption. Notice it's God's plan of redemption, not religious plans of redemption. The first of these three feasts are trumpets. It begins at sundown on September 29th, which is this week. This holy time is commonly known to the Jewish community as Rosh Hashanah, or the head of the year, but biblically as the Feast of Trumpets, or the day of the awakening blast. How do you like that? The day of the awakening blast. Why would God design a holiday, which is holy unto him, to be called the day of the awakening blast? What is he trying to do? No kidding. Trying to shake your tree. He's trying to let you know you're more than what you are. He's trying to let you know I've got a plan to bring you to fullness of salvation. Fullness of salvation is meaning that you're going to be just as Adam and Eve were created, in perfection. And you're going to act and react just like Jesus. Aha. That's quite a blast. Now, an integral part of his holy time is blowing the ram's horn, or the shofar, or the trumpet. Ram's horn. To alert the people that they must repent before the holy Creator, who will judge sin and all who fall short of his righteousness. Now, how many aim to do right but don't always succeed? Thank you. You may have all the great intentions and believe that you're doing exactly what God wants you to do, but guess what? I fall short. And I don't make it right and don't do it right. And when I realize after the fact, which usually is the way it works, after the fact, oh, well, I put my foot in the pie. I jumped in with both feet. Shouldn't have done it, but I did it. The shofar was made from a ram's horn, reminding the people that Abraham obediently put Isaac on the altar. And Yahweh mercifully provided a substitute, a ram caught in the thicket. The sounding of the ram's horn is the awakening and a warning for Yahweh's people to come to him in humility and repentance. He has provided a substitutionary sacrifice. Substitute. His only begotten Son, Yeshua our Lamb, Jesus our Lamb, to forgive and cleanse us of all sin and unrighteousness. Notice it's both. He allowed that Lamb, Christ Jesus, to cleanse us from all sin and unrighteousness, not partially. And we've gone through that before. It says that we live in perilous times, and loud soundings of the shofar is as the Hebrew prophet's words, you're urging the people to escape, to get out of harm's way. A loud shofar is sounding from heaven to earth, beseeching the people to repent and flee from judgment, that are coming into a place of safety under the canopy of Yahweh's protection, the blood of Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, you mean to tell me that we are all guilty? Or were guilty? Which is it? Were. Now, why do we still need a canopy of protection? We always need God's protection, because we're not that perfected yet, are we? Did Jesus look to Father for protection? Did Jesus have angels ministering to him? Okay, does that give you a clue? Should you and I believe for a moment that we can do it on our own, even after we are being what? Forgiven and made righteous. We have been forgiven. We've been washed in his blood. Amen? We've been justified. Romans 5:9. We are definitely his creation. We know all these things. But are we under the safety and the canopy of his protection? We are. Do we act like it? How about part-time? Can we all agree part-time? See, the numbers may fluctuate, but we know that we are still made out of flesh, and our flesh gets into trouble. And our brain, mind, will, and emotions, our soul, gets into trouble. Where is your soul going to be for eternity? Will your name be written in the book of life? The scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua. Romans 6, verse 23. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Now that's a heavy one. You might make a note of that. Romans 6, 23. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Unless you recognize that that covenant, sealed in blood of animals, year after year, for how many hundreds and hundreds of years, where the Jewish people be able to stay alive and continue their journey until the Messiah would come. Then he would shed his blood. Now, Leviticus 17, verse 11, and Hebrews 9, 22 says, this year, the most holy day of Yom Kippur begins on sundown, October 8th. It is a day of atonement, a day reminding us that our repentant sins are covered. Do you hear me? It's a day to remind us that our, what? Repentant sins are covered and removed by the anointing blood of our Messiah. Ultimately, the final sacrifice, Yahweh says, now is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now he goes on to say, the final holy day is outlined in Leviticus 23, verse 24, which is Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. This year, it begins at sundown on October 13th. And we will be here on Monday night. And finish at sundown October 21st, meaning we will have services twice a day. And the recording there will give you the time slots. This time reminds us of Yahweh's provision or shelter, of shelter for Israel. He has led them during her wilderness journey. We are pilgrims on this earth, just passing through, as we long to enter the promised land, the messianic kingdom of Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son of our Lamb, or the Son our Lamb. This last great biblical feast points to Messiah's first coming. When he came to dwell, tabernacle, among his people, John 1:14. The fulfillment of this feast is the blessed hope of the Redeemer, which will ultimately be fulfilled and eternally enjoyed by a consecrated remnant of Jews and Gentiles. Did you catch it? Jews and Gentiles. Why? Because God is not done with his people. Why do you think all of the Middle East is in an uproar trying to destroy the little bit of land that they have and have reclaimed? Ahmadinejad actually made a statement in front of the world body called the United Nations, right? The United Nations in 1948 gave a piece of land to whom? To Israel for the Jews. And now, since 1948, we've got 40 years of tormentors that are on, 50 years, right? 60 years, you're right, 60 years, it's even more. So you understand, where am I coming from? The one new man, Ephesians 2:15, and you might look at that. Ephesians 2:15 says there's going to be a new man. St. Paul's prayer is going to be answered. His people are going to recognize Yeshua. They're going to recognize Jesus. They're going to acknowledge him as Lord. Did you ever see a person that is broke and been broken and not receive help from the Jews? They've been busted in every direction in every country that they've ever lived in. And yet they have a compassionate heart for those who are in trouble, but first for their own. Who will experience Yahweh's kingship and the holy presence forever? This time is also called the Feast of Great Rejoicing that can only be experienced by those who have repented of their sins and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go back. What I'm told on the news was that when this man literally made a comment, or a speech, I guess, at the UN, that after he got done, declaring that the only peace in his heart that would come would be when the Jewish nation would be totally annihilated, he got a standing ovation. No, it's the same story. It's not a shame, sweetheart. Remember when Jesus stood before Pilate and Pilate wanted to give him up and say, I don't see anything wrong with this guy? They said, what? Crucify him? And we want the other guy set free. The crook? The killer? To set free. Pattern's the same. Who is going to defend Israel? Who said the Lord? Yeah. The Lord is going to defend her. You see, a lot of times I used to get bent out of shape when I would see all the advantages being removed from the Jew, especially in the Middle East. When I was watching some of the different articles and news bulletins that are across the board from all different directions. And even now, Syria, all the countries that are surrounding Israel are angry with her. They gave up pieces of land over and over trying to appease, and all they get is more rockets. What am I saying to you? The world hates their guts. They hate the Jew and who backs them up. Yes, they hate God. They hate God because God is behind the Jew. By the way, they hate Christians. Because who's behind the Christian? The real believer is the same God. It's not a different story. It's the same story. You know, when the word of God says the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God, what does that mean? That means that God is about to make a transition take place that will, let's say, put Wall Street on the run. How many notice Wall Street is screaming right now? Why? Because of greed and what else? What is the other item that's pushing them? Power. Fear is there too. But they want power and they want money. Greed. Okay? Mammon. That's their God. And they want to serve their God. And now they want you and me, the taxpayer, to pay the bill. And I'm not against it. Because you see, I know God's in charge. And he will use whoever those authorities are. Romans 13. If you want to find out, instead of getting upset, look at what Romans 13 says that you have to do about the political realm. Pray for them. God's in charge. He can use a king that is literally ungodly. He did it in the days of Daniel. And by the way, when it was time to humble the king, he made him go what? Insane. For how long? For 7 years. And then this king bowed his knee. You think God has a problem with an unbeliever? Absolutely not. God doesn't have a problem with any of these people. If you look at Psalms 2, somebody look up Psalms 2. Psalms number 2. Psalm number 2. You don't have to go very far. Psalm number 2. First one to get there, put your hand up. Okay, Marianne. The Amplified is good.
Why do the nations assemble with commotion, uproar, and confusion of voices? And why do the people meditate upon and devise an empty scheme? I need a little note there saying the UN.
She has a little note in her Bible, says the UN.
The kings of the earth take their places. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. They say, let us break their bands of restraint asunder and cast their cords of control from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision, and in supreme contempt he mocks them. He speaks to them in his deep anger and troubles, terrifies and confounds them in his displeasure and fury, saying, yet have I anointed, installed, and placed my king firmly on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. This day I declare I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance.
Ask of me.
And the uttermost parts of the earth as your possessions. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like potter's ware. Now therefore, O you kings, act wisely. Be instructed and warned, O you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with reverent awe and worshipful fear. Rejoice and be in high spirits with trembling, lest you displease him. Kiss the Son, pay homage to him in purity, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. for soon shall his wrath be kindled. O blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are all those who seek refuge and put their trust in him.
And all of God's people said, why amen? Because when you agree that God is not bent out of shape over the United Nations or any other nation, that means that we can join him. We can sit back and laugh. Amen? Instead of getting upset, because I used to get upset. I used to get upset because I thought, whoa, these people are being picked on. These people are being abused. And I wanted to defend and set them free. And God says, uh-uh. Remember I've been bouncing on you about 1 Peter 5:10? After you have suffered a little while? After you have suffered a little while? The God of all grace will restore, strengthen, and make you strong and powerful? See, it's not change. The pattern is still him in charge, not you and me.
For other people, that's not in the plan of God, even though you feel you're helping them, and they do wrong with what you've given them, you've got to let go of them and let them in God's hands.
Yes.
For him to do his work in them.
Yes.
And don't go near them till it's through, because you're going to go over and over that same pattern.
Yeah, and you're wasting your time getting wiped out for nothing. Agreed. Maybe a moment from now, okay? You see, may you open your ears and hear the sound of the shofar. May your heart be pierced with true repentance as you confess your sins and are cleansed with the blood of our Yom Kippur sacrifice, Jesus the Lamb. Let us continue to behold our Lamb and uphold his precious blood by the glorifying him in words and deeds as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. As we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Recognizing that we have a part to do. There is a piece for us to do. And may you rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life as you prepare by his Spirit to enter his soon coming kingdom. The Book of Revelation describes this glorious fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacle or Sukkot. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from Yahweh. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of Yahweh, or of God, is among men. He shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and Yahweh himself shall be among them. And the first thing that has passed away, and he who sits on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. I am the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of waters of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Revelation 21, verses 2 through 7. Now, as I was sharing these pieces to the puzzle that we see in the natural realm and the frenzy that's actually happening in Washington and the people in the different networks. How many noticed the news in the past few days? All the tension and anxiety and pressure tactics and the backbiting and all the things that are actually rolling around in the news media. Unless you have a knowledge of Christ Jesus, you can get caught up in that. And you'll find yourself getting anxious. But in reality, your call is to trust God. Your call is to trust that, yes, He will restore everything on the day appointed. Now, I remember saying to the Lord, you know, when you first came and you were born in the earth, nobody except who found you. Who were the first people to find Jesus? The shepherds. Do you know that if you look for a people that would be despised, it would also be shepherds? If you were an Egyptian in the time of Christ, and even before, even during the time of Abraham, they couldn't stand the shepherds. In fact, if you were a non-Egyptian, you could not eat with them at their table. Pretty serious business. And yet God chose the best of the land of Egypt to be given over, and a place of protection was designed for them so that they could survive all the tests that Egypt was going to be tasting when all of the tests came. Remember, while you and I are focused on our Savior, when we are looking at possibly the judgments to come, and if Wall Street was to fall tomorrow, how would we survive? God's grace, God's mercy, God's manna, God's bread from heaven. Now, Israel, when they were taken out of Egypt, for 40 years lived in the desert. Their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. They were able to be fed every single day. They didn't go to the fields and harvest anything. That should be a wake-up call to us. They just got up in the morning and went and got the bread and cooked it. And every day they had to go, except for on Friday morning, they had to gather enough for 2 days. Pretty intense. But it's an example, because when you see things falling apart around you, you have a tendency to go and see what your savings account looks like. Yes or no? We have a tendency. I can remember years back when Argentina's banks failed. They declared a bank holiday. All the banks were closed for weeks and weeks. And guess what was going on in my head? Well, maybe you better keep a little nest egg at home. How would you survive if you were living in Argentina? Of course, I wasn't living in Argentina, but the bottom line was, I could have been. Are you ready for a bank holiday here? How would you survive? Would your checking account be able to be cashed in? See, what I'm getting at is, if your entire structure is based on your finances, you're in trouble. Okay? How many remember Diana Drew? Okay. At the time that Diana was part of our ministry, she was very connected to Linda and Chuck and I. And I'm going to blab about her because, you know, she's gone with Jesus now. She's with Chuck. And they're praying for us, and we know it. Okay? We know it because of God giving a dream to Chuck back in 92, 93. Forgot the date. Anyway, the date's not important. But I remember having a talk with our pastor, and pastor had said to us, we are on the same safety level as those that were in the ark. Did Noah have a problem when it started to rain? Did his kids have a problem when it started to rain? Did the rest of the world have a problem when it started to rain? Yeah. They didn't believe that it would ever rain because it had never rained. Now, you know, I remember how much that was a problem for me when I realized that from Genesis all the way up to Noah, it had never rained. Pretty cool. If it had never rained, why would anybody believe when this man is going around preaching all those years, it's going to rain? It'll never rain. It's never rained in all these years. Our ancestors have been living in the earth all these years. It's never rained. Well, guess what? God was right and the people were wrong. And they did get caught off guard. But those that were in the ark were what? Safe. Okay? Here was my dilemma. God was letting me know at that time, through Pastor Gino, that we were an ark. The Grace Church of Christ was an ark. It was a place of safety. It was a place where we would be protected. And we would be taken care of if there was a problem. Nationally, internationally, it didn't matter. So I went to the Lord with this and I said, okay, what would happen if everything fell apart tomorrow? And I started to realize, you know, everybody's got a little plan in the back of their head that just bounces in when the pressure comes. Am I right or wrong? Who's got plan B available? Okay, plan A is not working, so now we'll go to plan B. Who's in charge of plan A? God is. Who's in charge of plan B? Us. What's wrong with the picture? Plan B. But the bottom line was, I was still in plan B. That was being pimped. Okay? I have an appointment then. Diana's the anointed vessel that's coming in to be one-to-one with me. And we're going to have about an hour together, and I put a tape recorder in. I put the tape in the machine. Blessed be the time that we had together. And all these plan B things were going through my head. Okay? So she reached over my desk. I anointed her with oil, and guess what happens? She falls under the power of God. Her head goes slamming against the door. She's now flat on the floor, and all of a sudden, her mouth takes off. Now, those of you who know Diana, she was a very prophetic type of person. And she's talking to who? Yours truly. And she's talking about all these awesome things that are being held in God's heart for those who are going to be in his place of safety when all the manure hits the fan. And she starts declaring. Now, she has no clue about my plan B. She's got no idea of what's going through my head, but God does. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows about your plan B. He's not disturbed about your plan B. He's not. He'll take the prophetic. He'll make it happen the way he's already planned it. And she began to say, now, you're worried about food. Don't you know I fed the people of Israel for 40 years and they had no problem? Guess who's crying? Plan B is starting to melt. And my eyes are full of tears. And I know she's talking to me. I'm absolutely convinced. And she says, and I have plant life that you know not of. Plant life? Meaning I can grow things that you haven't even able to conceive in the most weird places. So would you just cool it? Cool your plan B and stick with me. Look at your neighbor. Say, we're going to cool plan B And we're going to stick with Jesus. Because he can grow things. Out of nothing. He can feed 5,000. With a couple of loaves. And a couple of fish. It's not a problem for God. And if why should I be worried? Plan B won't work anyway. What am I saying to you today? Concentrate on what God has prepared for this feast. Come, listen to the shofar Tuesday night. Yes, we're going to blow the shofar Tuesday night. Yes, we're going to be here to celebrate Christ Jesus. But do me a favor. Don't put plan B in. Get rid of it. Think about what he wants for you and what he wants for your family and how awesome he's already done a job that you could never do. A work in you that you could never perform on your own. Can you admit that? How many can admit he's done a better job than I could? Yes. And he did it in the midst of what? Manure. For me, anyway. It was lousy. Things were bad. And I wanted to say some of this to my grandson this week. Because, by the way, he's in a nursing home in Newton. And it's a challenge. But that's the door that has been opened and the only door for the moment. So we're trusting God to do what he wants there. But the bottom line is, we'd like to activate and get something different happening so that we would have less pressure. But who's the supplier? He is. Would you lift one hand to the Lord, please? Say, Father, if I've had plan B on the shelf, on the back of my mind, I'm asking for the blood to wash it away now. And only have your plan for everything that's happening to me is not an accident from God. It's a pre-planned, orchestrated plan just for Jesus. And he's the only one that will reveal the pieces I need in the day appointed. I can rest. I can celebrate. I can rejoice. He's still in charge. And God looks at all these silly things. These silly kings. Making all their plans. And I'm going to join him. I'm going to laugh with him. At all the king's plans. Amen.
Amen.
Ready for the feast? Prepare your hearts. Tuesday's the opening. There will be a season there for really seeking God to do what he wants with us. Young King of the Lord, be upon you as you go forth in this week and obey him by all means. In Jesus' name. Amen.